there when you, your contacts no longer work to help when you have to see something small. I think I can get through my sermon without having to have them, but if you see me grab them up, you'll see, you'll realize that I've lost a spot.
Just getting a little older.
I still remember, I'm still the youth group here in the church, so. Our scripture today is found in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 3 through 14. What I'm going to be reading is from the Common English Bible, and I think it's just slightly different from what's printed in your bulletin. But certainly, if it's in your bulletin, please follow along if you so choose. Now, Solomon loved the Lord by walking in the laws of his father David, with the exception that he also sacrificed and burned incense at the shrines. The king went to the great shrine at Gibeon in order to sacrifice there. He used to offer 1,000 entirely burned offerings on that altar. The Lord appeared to Solomon at Gibeon in a dream at night. God said, "Ask whatever you wish, and I will give it to you." Solomon responded, "You showed so much kindness to your servant, my father David, when he walked before you in truth, righteousness, and with a heart true to you. You've kept this great loyalty and kindness for him, and have now given him a son to sit on his throne. And now, Lord, my God, you have made me, your servant, king in my father David's place. But I'm young and inexperienced. I know next to nothing. But I'm here, your servant, in the middle of the people you have chosen, a large population that can't be numbered or counted due to its vast size. Please give your servant a discerning mind in order to govern your people and to distinguish good from evil. Because no one is able to govern this important people of yours without your help." It pleased the Lord that Solomon had made this request. God said to him, "Because you have asked for this instead of requesting long life, wealth, or victory over your enemies," excuse me, "asking for discernment so as to acquire good judgment, I will now just do just what you said. Look, I hereby give you a wise and understanding mind. There has been no one like you before now, nor will there be anyone like you afterward. I now also give you what you didn't ask for, wealth and fame. There won't be a king like you as long as you live. And if you walk in my ways and obey my laws and commands, just as your father David did, then I will give you a very long life." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You notice in that he was asking for wisdom and understanding. Basically, he wanted good judgment. If you remember, Will Rogers had a saying, I think it was Will Rogers, and he said, "Good judgment comes from experience, and experience generally happens because of bad judgment." One time there was this man, and he was a pretty decent guy, and he happened to find this old bottle, and he fooled around with it, and all of a sudden the genie was freed and popped out. And the genie was so thankful for his freedom that he offered the man a wish. Just one. And the man said, "Well, you know, I've had a pretty good life. I've had most of it's been good." And he says, "And besides, freeing somebody that was trapped in a bottle like you were was probably just the right thing to do. Just can't think of anything I want to wish for." But the genie said, "Look, I just will feel terrible if I don't repay you for what you've done." So the man thought, he said, "Look, I absolutely hate to fly. And I hate riding on a boat." He said, "Do you think you could just build me a highway from California to Hawaii where I can drive out there and not have to get off on a plane or on a ship?" And the genie looked at him and said, "Listen, you're talking about a massive undertaking. You know, that's a huge road. It'll mess up the fish. We'll have to fix it where the boats and the ships that are constantly going across the Pacific can manage to get on it. You know, think about the resources. Just, isn't there something else that at this point that you, don't you have a better wish than that? The man says, well, he thought about it. He says, well, I suppose, do you think you could help me to understand women? And the genie said, would you like that to be a two-lane or a four-lane? Sometimes it just depends on what you wish for. Today's scripture reports on an occasion that was right at the beginning of Solomon's reign over the combined nation of Israel. Solomon had followed his father David to the throne. And especially at the earliest times of his reign in particular, Solomon also strictly followed David's activities, his religious activities and belief and support of the Lord God. Notice at the very first of it, he worshiped diligently. He went out to the high places and the shrines and made great sacrifices. He did this at more than one of them, but the one that's reported on today took place at one called Gibeon, a great shrine. And remember, all of these things in the outside shrines were because at this point, Solomon himself hadn't built the temple. God didn't have a central temple. David had started the ark coming to Jerusalem. It had gotten fairly close, but there still wasn't a temple to house it in, so it was still in the old tabernacle, the old tent. And I think God was fairly happy with that, but Solomon was going to build him a temple, but that's a different story for another day. Now, after making this terrific amount of sacrifices at Gibeon, the Lord came to Solomon that night in a dream and told Solomon to ask for whatever it was that he wished for, and God would give it to him. Now, before we get into how Solomon answered, you know how what happened in some of that. What I want you to do is put yourself in the place of Solomon. You're a rich young ruler. The world basically is at your feet. You've got all this stuff. And yet God comes and says, I will make whatever wish you want to have come true. What would you have wished for? Let your mind wander out freely. Just think about it for a minute or two. What would I have asked for? And then think about how many times through our lives, how many stories, how many movies, how many TV shows, how many books, how many legends, how many myths, fables, and we read that talked about folks that had a great opportunity to make a wish, or several wishes. Whether it was the movie Aladdin, or the story about Aladdin with the genie and the three wishes. Or some of the other stories that we've read where somebody made a wish to something. And now, think about how seldom did that seem to work out. It almost seems like in every situation, no matter what the wish was, and believe me, there's all sorts of wishes. Read them, watch them, see them. Lots of occasions where this seemed to be done, where somebody's relating a story. It seldom seemed to work out good for the person. There's a curveball in it. There's an issue. It didn't quite work out the way the wisher or the chooser wanted it to work out. Oftentimes, quite oftentimes, the results ended up being tragic. They made poor wishes. They were greedy. They asked for all the money in the world. They asked for eternal life. It just never seemed to work because they didn't fill in. The genie or the Athenian god or whatever he was, whichever it was, the Roman gods would answer it in a way that almost tricked that person. In fact, I saw one not too long ago as I was starting to think about this scripture and all and how I could present it. There was a show and the guy was, I mean, he was desperate. He'd done figured out this genie, and this genie actually became a genie because she wished to have the same kind of power as a genie. And here she was 600 years later, extremely tired of being a genie and having immortal life and having to answer wishes. And this guy was trying to put, well, what kind of wish can I do that's going to benefit the world? He wished for peace on earth. The genie made it come true by making everybody else vanish. There was no other person on earth. So there couldn't be any conflict. But there also was no relationship. There was no fellowship. There was no love. Everybody was gone but this one man. Did that answer to his wish? Yes. And I sometimes think that sometimes we use playing the lottery the same way today. It can make all our wishes come true if I just, Lord, let me win the lottery one time. And think about how rare it is for the person that wins the lottery for it seemed to work out for them. They just waste the money. They frivolous way. They end up in conflict over every kind of thing that you could possibly think of. It's very rare that it seems like that person benefits from the wonderful opportunity to have all that lottery money. Now, we always tell ourselves, oh Lord, if you just trust me one time, I would be fiscally responsible. Trust me. I know what I'm doing, Lord. If you'll just bless me with winning the lottery. At least that's what I do. The only problem is I can't even remember to buy tickets. So, there's that. But how often, when we read about somebody that's done this, somebody in these stories or movies that gets the opportunity to make a wish, and we look at them and we shake our head, we almost gloat a little bit and say, God, what an idiot. Or we use the old Bugs Bunny line, what a maroon. I bet you Bugs Bunny is not mentioned in another sermon other than mine earlier this morning in the hall of the rest of the services today. But the thing is, would we do much different? Would we be more wise? In today's scripture, Solomon did not make any of what we would have thought of as an expected wish. One might have thought that kind of wish would have appealed to a young, rich, individual ruler. No matter how Solomon changed over the many years after this, at this point, despite what he asked for, think about how much maturity and potential Solomon showed at this point in time. The great creator God of the universe, who controlled and had everything, offered him the opportunity to make a wish that would cover anything that he desired. And instead of asking for love, fame, fortune, or even victory and death of all of his enemies, even a long life, Solomon began to explain to the Lord what the predicament he thought he was in. Now, I'm pretty sure God already knows everything it is to know about us and the predicament that he was in. But Solomon told God that God had greatly blessed Solomon's father David and their kingdom. And then he had followed that up by blessing Solomon by making him the king in David's place and giving him a great and populous nation that he had to rule over. But Solomon said, but Lord, I'm ignorant. I'm young. I'm inexperienced. I don't have the ability at this point to be able to rule over your people, this nation of yours. So, Lord, would you give me a wise and discerning mind, and secondly, the ability to tell good from evil? And I think we can look at this wish instinctively and say, well, I know why he wants a wise and discerning mind and understanding. But remember, Solomon was also the ultimate authority, the ultimate power. Nobody could say yes or no to Solomon in the whole kingdom. You know that old saying about power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely? Well, that tends to work on kings who have no controls. I think one of the most important characteristics that any king, man or woman, should have is the ability to see how a decision is going to work out over time, to know if it's going to be for good or evil, instead of just, how is this going to benefit me right now? And in particular, when you have a group of advisors who, first of all, might be afraid that the king's going to say, off with the head, they disagree with what I wanted, or it's going to benefit us, so whatever we want to do, you need to do it. Solomon asked for the ability to discern good and evil, to know how a decision would play out. And if you think that's not important, all you need to do is spend a little more time reading Kings, get through the reign of Solomon. His son destroyed a nation because he would not listen to what his own people had to say. He would not listen to what his wisest advisors had to say. He listened to his friends and buddies and destroyed the nation of Israel. It split apart. This request from Solomon pleased God immensely, who then proceeded to grant Solomon's wish and made Solomon the wisest and most understanding person of his or any other time. God specifically stated that no one before or after Solomon would be so wise, at least not human. I truly believe Jesus is the epitome of wisdom, but I don't think of him truly as just being only a man. But then, on top of that, God also said, because he was so pleased with Solomon, I'm going to also give you great wealth, and I'm going to give you great fame to go along with the wisdom that you have. And finally, in that same passage, God reminded Solomon that if he would follow God's laws, just like David did, and obey and lead a righteous life, then he would have a long, long life. By making that right choice with God, Solomon not only got the blessing and the wish that he asked for, but he got a multiplication of blessings that he didn't ask for and didn't expect. He became so renowned through all of the nations around him that people like the Queen of Sheba and all the other rulers would come and visit Solomon's court to see his judgment, to see his understanding and wisdom on display. By all accounts from theologians and Bible historians and folks, Solomon was also one of the richest kings in all of history that we can account for. Literally, still today, all the way up into the last couple hundred years, men, women, still search for the legendary mines of King Solomon, where his gold and all and supplies came from. He had so much that it was almost uncountable. And as far as wisdom, and that wealth doesn't even account for the amount of gold and silver and furnishings that he had placed in the new big temple and all of the stone and the monuments that went into it. And also remember that the book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes, which are wisdom books in our Bible and in the Jewish Bible, are widely believed to be written by King Solomon. One, some to address his son, and others just to the nation in general. He's also believed to be the one that wrote the Song of Solomon, but it's a little different from Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. And finally, because at least early in his life, Solomon did and followed what God wanted him to do, although he changed over time, he also reigned over Israel for 40 years or more, which even today would be a great, long, and successful reign over any nation. Now, probably at this point you're saying and wondering to yourself, what's the point in all of this sermon and all this talking? Sure, we're looking at a terrific example of someone who made the right choice, a great choice, and it worked out for him in a spectacular fashion, thanks to the wisdom he showed in making that choice. What's that got to do with me? God isn't very likely to appear to me in a dream and offer me the chance to get one of my wishes made, is he? But the thing is, quite often, we are given the opportunity to make choices that can affect our lives greatly. Even if those choices are not exactly the same as having a chance to make a wish. The problem is that usually we don't really look at it that way. Most of us, And this is not throwing stones at y'all folks. This is just observing. This works for myself as well. We have already lived out a great deal of the life term that we're likely to have. Don't you ever think about it sometimes or wonder back when you look back all through the many years and you wonder what would have changed in my life if I'd simply made a different choice? If I'd have turned in a different direction, if I'd have changed jobs somewhere down the road or changed careers. But then, of course, we pull ourselves back to the reality of the present and we say, but what difference does it make? I can't go back. I can't make changes in that and change my entire life to this point. There's no point in wondering about it, even beating myself up over a decision that was made many years ago. But the next thought in this process is, life isn't over yet. You get to make many more choices and decisions all the time. And those choices and decisions are all still vitally important. Jesus reminded us that no person can serve two masters. You will either love one and hate the other, or you will do vice versa. You cannot serve two different masters equally and well. Jesus also told us to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all the things that you need will be added back to you. Now think about that. Doesn't that sound an awful lot like my wishes are coming true? Part of that is because your Father in heaven already knows what you need. And at the crux of this is God and Satan, or if you prefer it, the world itself, are pulling us in different directions all the time. We have to decide multiple times each day as to whom we will follow and what choices we need to make to get there. And it's easy to ask and say, well, what does this have to do with making wishes? But all too often we are listening to the siren call of the world or the tempting voice of the devil telling us, ignore your sense of right and wrong. Don't listen to your conscience. Just go ahead and do it. It's what you really want to do, isn't it? Indulge yourself. Don't you really want to look better and be more attractive? Don't think about what you should be doing. Go ahead and spend it all. Blow it out the big one. Max out every credit card you got and all of them. You only live once, you know. Deep down inside ourselves, we don't want to live high on the hog sometimes. We deserve it. We earned it, we believe. We want to pamper ourselves or allow ourselves to show off to impress somebody else. Look at me. Don't you want to live like this? Don't you want to look like this? Don't you wish you could be like this? Hadn't I struggled and suffered long enough? I want to blow it all one time and go for the glory. But that's the world talking to us. The trouble is there are consequences if we take that line. As we all know, Jesus advised us to store up treasures first in heaven and not on earth, to be righteous, to be merciful, to love justice, and to love each other most of all. Jesus' parable about Lazarus and the rich man reminds us that God wants more from us than to simply live in and enjoy in just the prosperity that we have, the prosperous life, to the fullest extent possible, and we have no concern about those around us. Part of the point in that parable is that the rich man had all of the good stuff here in this life. Lazarus had none. And then it flipped. Lazarus had paradise for an eternity. Which do you think came out the better in the long run? Jesus told us that the sparrow doesn't worry about where it's going to find something to eat, where it's going to live and stay, and that the flowers only last a day or two. Yet the very beauty of the flowers is even more remarkable than Solomon in all his glory. And if God cares this much for the birds of the air and the flowers and the grass on the earth, is he not much more concerned with us? Do you not realize how much God loves and cares for you? God wants his followers to spend less time being concerned over getting through this life and what we have in it, and more time being concerned over the condition of our neighbors and our eternal destination in the next life. It's easy to sit back and wonder why God doesn't answer all of our prayers and just grant us all of our greatest desires. Since God loves us so much, why doesn't he do that? Why aren't we all living in the lap of luxury, enjoying everything? And believe me, you could probably find some prominent televangelists telling you this morning that if you send them the appropriate amount of money, God's going to leverage out so many blessings on you, you're going to have a great big mansion and all sorts of fancy cars and clothes to wear and ride in. I'm not much on the prosperity sermon, so I'm not going to help you with that. But just imagine heaven and an eternity spent in heaven. God will make all of your dreams come true, and he will meet every important need that we have. And the thing about it is, have you ever thought about it and read through Revelation? Everybody is going to be rich in heaven. Think about the very place that you live at. The gates are enormous pearls. Fabulous jewels line every wall. There's so much wealth and stuff in heaven, the very streets are paved with gold. The river of life flows from the throne of God, and it is lined with the trees of life. You can have all you want to eat, anytime you want to eat it. There is no darkness in heaven, for God himself is the light, and his glory shines so bright that all of heaven glows all of the time. So make heaven your greatest wish and desire while here on earth, and God will then make your wish come true even more than you can possibly believe or desire. Just wait until you meet Jesus in heaven. What a wish to come true. Once there were two angels that were out traveling this earth. One of them was an older, more experienced angel and had been around and done the work of God for any number of years. The other one was very young, very inexperienced, just getting started out on the angelic life, and was going through a training process with the older angel. And as they were traveling about the earth, they came up to this wonderful mansion, big house, just had one couple in it. They were fabulously wealthy and whatever. And the angel went up, the older one knocked on the door and said, "We'd like to have a lodging for the night. Can you help us out here?" And the couple that said, "Well, we barely got room to get around in here and do what we need to do, and we don't have a whole bunch that we can give you, so I can probably feed you a couple of scraps and a glass of old milk, but you can spend the night in the basement." And that night, they spent the night down in the basement after sharing a very frugal meal. And in the night, the older angel noticed that there was a place in the wall that was tearing up and fixing to come apart. And said, "I'm going to take the time and made the stuff that angels can do and repaired the entire wall, made it like it was even better than it was originally, just beautiful." And the younger angel was looking and said, "These folks treated us like this, and you're going to help them out by repairing the basement for them? I don't understand this." The angel didn't say anything. So that day they went on and went down the road further, and they found an old shack, a hovel, that had an elderly couple in it that barely had much and could barely make ends meet. They had one old cow and a few other things around, and the angel knocked and said, do you suppose we could spend the night here?" And the couple said, "Sure, come on in. We don't have a bunch, but what we got, we will share completely with you, and we'll make sure you have the better of what we have." And we'll let you take our bed tonight, and we'll go outside and sleep in the stable, because you're our guest. We want you to have the very best that we possibly have. And the angels did that, and in the night, the angel of death came and took the cow that they had, the last cow that they had. By this time, the young or inexperienced angel was absolutely, completely furious. And as they were leaving the next day, she stormed out at the older angel. "Look, I don't think I could deal with a job like this. I just cannot understand. Those folks, the rich folks, treated us like we were nothing, and you helped them. And these folks blessed us with everything that they had, and you let their cow die." The older angel said, "Yes, my child, but you're still learning and you don't know all of the story." She said, "Behind that wall in their basement, there was a big ballast of gold. And if it kept rotting, it was going to fall out, and they would have been even richer and more arrogant than they are now. So I sealed up the wall to make certain it never shows up." She said, "And the angel of death last night came for the woman. But I convinced the angel to spare her and take the cow instead. We need to know, from God's perspective, everything that is. And I know what my wish is. And my prayer is that Jesus himself will keep working on me until the day that I can arrive at the pearly gates." Let us pray.
Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that you bless what was said here today and raise up your people. Father, we ask that you guide us, keep us in your care. In Christ's name, amen.